You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of CROI 2009, the 16th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections. The conference took place in Montreal, Canada, from February 8th through February 11th, 2009.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, Editorial Director of The Body Pro. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who have actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions.
My name is Judy Chen. I'm an internist and a health services researcher. I work at Health Benchmarks Incorporated, which is located in Woodland Hills. This poster, the title is "The HIV Testing and Monitoring in Privately Insured Members Recently Diagnosed with Potential AIDS-Defining Events." In 1993, Centers for Disease Control published surveillance case definition for AIDS-defining events, and these are 25 sets of diagnoses, including lymphoma, encephalopathy, invasive cervical cancer, yeast infection of other than the oral cavity, histoplasmosis, wasting, PCP, Kaposi's, etc. And these are diagnoses that Center for Disease Control said if you have them, most likely you have AIDS, not just HIV, but AIDS. So CDC recommended that clinicians should be aware of these clinical conditions, which are highly suggestive of HIV and the need for prophylaxis and therapeutic interventions. So the objective of this poster is to assess the rate of HIV screening and monitoring among insured members diagnosed with potential AIDS-defining events but without an existing HIV diagnosis. So we used 2006 administrative claim data for 8 commercial health plans. Mostly our PPO health plan, but we did have one Medicaid health plan. Included in our study sample are members who are insured for 1 year and 60 days after the potential AIDS-defining event. This is just to make sure we don't have any missing data from our population. We excluded everybody with a history of AIDS or immunodeficiency or organ transplants, and if they were on hospice or immunosuppressive medication or had prolonged steroid use. And the main thing we looked at is in this population without HIV and without history of immunosuppression, and if they did have a potential AIDS-defining event, what is the rate of having an HIV screening test or CD4 count or HIV viral load in the 150 days before the event or 60 days after the event. As you can see from the results, the rates of having an HIV screening test, CD4 count, or HIV viral load was very low in these patients. And that's actually somewhat shocking. For example, patients that were diagnosed with pseudopneumocystis carinii pneumonia, which is diagnostic of HIV and AIDS, which nobody would actually get without HIV and AIDS. There were about 48 patients in our sample. Only 10% of these individuals actually had HIV antibody screening test, CD4 count, or viral load sent in the 150 days before their diagnosis and 60 days after their diagnosis.
Just one question about that. What percentage of the patients with this pneumonia were older than 50 or, what was the character? Do you have the characteristics of that particular group?
Not right off the bat. I mean, in general, the mean age for the whole population was older. It was around 50 years. So, and this is a commercially insured population, so we didn't have the Medicare, too many people above 65. So we are skewed toward the younger population anyways. But the mean age was already 50. So my guess is these were already the older population.
Uh-huh. And it's interesting that the region was, this is in the South, 59.3%
right.
of the study sample were in the South. So
right.
it's...
Well, I think this 59, this is the reason, the majority of our claims base for this particular sample was from the South. So maybe if we had more data from the West, that the number could have been different. But so this this study mostly reflected what happened in the South and in the Midwest. Yes, and we have a multivariate analysis show that if you are hospitalized during the year prior to your diagnosis, you're more likely to actually have an HIV screening test right here. And then if you are actually in the middle age group, the 18 to 50 years, you're more likely to be screened. But if you are older or younger, you're less likely to be screened.
Could you go through a little bit more of the potential AIDS-defining events? Because I see that 25% had CMV pneumonia or retinitis, and that's not seen in the general population, is it?
Oh, no. This is actually CMV pneumonia retinitis is almost exclusive in the AIDS population. And especially they said this diagnosis, multifocal leukoencephalopathy, PML, that's only exclusively seen in the AIDS population, and nobody was screened for HIV. So, yeah.
So quite shocking results. So they just figured, they figured out what it was.
Right.
They could diagnose it, but they couldn't figure out, what it may be related to.
Right. Exactly. That's the shocking part. You think that if they diagnosed it, that they would have automatically sent a test with it, to verify, the origin or the associated causes with the diagnosis.
So just a few more questions. So why was the study sample so much older, number one? Tell me a little bit more about the population characteristics and how you came to be studying this population.
Initially, we had intended for this not to be so much a research study, but a quality indicator. Like if you had certain characteristics, did you receive the quality of care? So initially, we developed as a quality indicator, and that says if you have potential AIDS-defining event, that means you have a diagnosis that could, flag you as having AIDS, and you didn't have already a history of HIV. Did your clinician think to send an HIV test or even an accompanying test such as CD4 count or HIV viral load? As far as why the age group is older, my guess is that these patients probably have other medical problems along with it. Maybe the doctor think maybe the other medical problems are contributing to the fact that they have these diagnoses. But we did rule out the most obvious reasons that, you would have other immunosuppressions as severe as that. We did rule out, if you had an organ transplant, we already tossed you out. And if you were on an immunosuppressive agent, such as for immunologics or even prolonged oral steroid use, we already tossed you out. So I think, it is older. I think these people probably have, as you can see, the comorbidity index is people with existing comorbidity. The younger population we have zero. That means they don't have, other underlying comorbidities. So this population is a little bit sicker. I think our comorbidity index, 45% have two or more comorbidities. So.
And then I guess one final question. I see that the mean income is pretty high.
Right. So the mean income is higher in this population is because they are most of them are commercially insured with PPO plans. So they are working.
So it's $48,432, which is the mean income.
Right.
So are there any, I do hope there are going to be decisions made to change this. I mean, general recommendations?
I think because this is claims data and the health plans have access to the claims data, I think interventions are needed by commercial health plans to ensure that members with potential AIDS-defining events are screened for HIV. What health plans can do is that they can give feedback to their physicians and allow either opportunity to comment on why it wasn't sent or give the opportunity to send the test once they're identified.
And then one final question. So what happened? Were the people finally diagnosed with HIV?
That remains to be seen. We haven't followed up the patient out through time, but it will be interesting to assess in the future. So,
to say the least.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thank you for listening to this report from CROI 2009. For more coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/CROI2009.